This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
My name is Shola Amiobi.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
You're listening to The Score. Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
Hello and welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. And the big question, with only a few games left to go, is who wants to win it from here? Who wants to win the Premiership? Well, last weekend, Linfield and Larne both dropped points. The Invermen played first. The champions were beaten by Crusaders. Stuart Nixon, who scored the winning goal, joins us on the show shortly. Linfield, who played after them in the evening game, frustrated, held to a scoreless draw at the Oval. Who is going to jostle in front? There's so many matches to be played in a short space of time, including a head-to-head between the two sides. We also look at the Championship. Who wants to win the Championship? The top two were beaten in absolute thrillers. The league leaders poured it down, beaten by their neighbours, Anna United. And from Anna on the show today, Nathan Kerr, a former Ports player, who scored in that matchup. Anna, not just hoping for promotion themselves, but also could end up being the people that help decide who wins the league. And as if that wasn't enough, could it be the most pressurised penalty of the season so far? From 2-0 up for Ballymena United to 2-2 at Loch Gall. But Stephen McCulloch kept his cool, dispatched his spot kick, and has opened up a 5-point gap at the foot of the table. Could that be enough to save Ballymena United? We are talking to Stephen McCulloch on today's programme. It is all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, can you tell I am fired up for this week's programme? It's hard not to be, with everything that has happened, and I'll be getting into the fixtures and our guests in just a little moment's time. Before I do that, I want to say a huge congratulations to a couple of people, to Andy Mitchell and all at Larne for their Harry Cavan Youth Cup success earlier on this week. They edged out Crusaders by 2-1, and it's the first time since the late 70s that a Larne side have won that competition, so well done to Andy and his team. It was a really well contested final, and early goals from Larne did the damage. Crusaders, despite a spirited performance, not able to overturn the early deficit and losing by the odd goal. And then on Thursday night, I had the privilege of going along to Blanchflower Stadium, where Northern Ireland were winners against Wales there. Four wins on the trot, making them Centenary Shield champions. And I thought it was really fitting that the father of the late Frankie Wilson, Frank Wilson Sr., was there to not just witness things, but to be on the pitch as part of the presentations at the end. So that was really, really moving. And a huge congratulations to Northern Ireland under manager Simon Nix, Richard Clark, and all the rest of the coaching staff. The lads were really, really on form throughout the campaign and were resolute in the second half. They dig in a little bit after Senan Devine scored a wonder free kick and a Panenka penalty to give them a 2-goal lead going into the break. The second half, Wales pulled one back and made it nervy, but Northern Ireland held their own. Now, looking at the games this weekend, Crusaders Linfield, we'll be talking about that with Stuart Nixon in just a moment's time. The other games taking place on Saturday, 5 in total, 4 of which are at 3 o'clock. Carrick Rangers against Ballymena United. That'll be a match that comes up in our conversation later on with Stephen McCulloch. Coleraine take on Glentoran. Loch Gall host Glenavon. Newry City fighting for survival, 5 points behind the Sky Blues Ballymena. They play Dungannon Swifts, who are now assured of Premiership safety for another season after their win last weekend against Carrick Rangers. And at 5:30, Larne are against Cliftonville at Inver Park. There's Tuesday action as well. That will make things very interesting. We'll reflect on the Tuesday games on next week's programme, but they, just to quickly run you through them, we'll see Ballymena United take on Glenavon, Crusaders host Cliftonville, Dungannon play Loughgall, Glentoran are host to Larne, Linfield are at home against Coleraine, and Newry City will face Carrick Rangers. And that's just the Premiership equation. Championship talk coming up later on in the programme with Nathan Kerr as well. But time to get our first guest of this week onto The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
I said our guests on the programme this week have been involved in some big moments over the last week or so, and none more relevant than this man. His goal sent shockwaves through the title race. It's also a huge help to his team in their pursuit for a fourth placed finish, and the advantage that could give them potentially when it comes to the European playoffs, which are only a matter of weeks away. He got the winning goal against Larne for the Crews. He is, of course, Stuart Nixon. Stuart, welcome onto The Score.
Thanks for having me, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing brilliantly. I can't imagine I'm doing just as well as you are, though. Have you come back down to planet Earth? How good is that feeling to score a big winning goal in a massive game like that?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's absolutely unbelievable to score in such a big game against one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team in the country. And it's just great just to get that feeling, but it's also great for us as a team to get the 3 points and get in the fourth position. So hopefully now we can stay there.
I saw the photographs afterwards. I was at the game, obviously we spoke after the match, but the picture of you and Stephen Baxter in a big embrace, that was a nice moment. It kind of looked like one of those moments where both parties were going, this has worked out nicely for both of us. You know, he brought you in, you'd been out on loan at Queen's, and what a nice early way to repay him with a goal in a game of that magnitude.
Oh, it was brilliant. Stephen's been absolutely unbelievable with me since I've come in. So he's been incredible. Just conversations just keep me going, and even though there's sometimes I haven't played too much, he's just always said just be ready, and he said to me on the bench on Saturday, just be ready to come on, and thankfully I come on and did what I'd done and got the win and got the goal.
Now, which body part are we giving the goal to? You still have to move, you still have to put it in the net. I'm not taking anything away from you. Was it your hip, your bum, what was it?
I'm going to say my hip, because it was definitely my hip, because it was actually Lewis Barr flicked it on, and then Jordy Forsyth headed it, and then Ronan Ferguson, he palmed it on in my hip. So, but look, I hit a bit of my body and I went in, so I'm buzzing no matter what, like, do you know what I mean?
Of course. And in terms of the game plan, I said it to Stephen Baxter after the match, I thought it was so well executed from Crusaders. You're going into that game without a couple of key figures. You know, Philip Lawrie suspended, Paul Heatley's injured, and you're playing Larne, who have the bit between their teeth. They just dispatched to Cliftonville earlier in the week in really impressive fashion. You go to their ground, and you have to dig in, and you have to do all the defensive stuff first, which is never glamorous, but it obviously drew Larne out, and eventually the opportunities came for goals. They threw you on and that goal came. I mean, was that literally what we watched? Was that what you had all discussed before the match? Take the hard work first, do all the defensive stuff, and eventually believe that you can go and attack them?
Absolutely, yeah. We knew, everyone knows how good Larne can be. And the last thing you want to do is get cut open by them. So, you know, you keep a good shape. Like you say, do the dirty work first and foremost, and then earn the right to play. And once you do that, and then hopefully, you know, with the quality and the team and the boys, you know you're going to get chances now and again. So, and it's all about just making them count. So thankfully, we frustrated Larne to very minimum, if any, to be honest. And if anything, there was long range. And then thankfully, it came from Jordy Forsyth's shot. And then the corner, obviously, and then we got the goal, and then it's just again just about holding in, showing game management and the mentality within the group to hold on to 3 points, and thankfully we did it. So it was that was the game plan worked brilliantly.
And as we always say in football, and then on to the next one, and the next one, a big game on home turf. Linfield, the visiting team. I mean, all the games we know in the end of the season, we know how the split works. They're incredible. Crusaders have Linfield, and then after that, the Tuesday game, Cliftonville at Seaview. Then it's away to Coleraine. Then it's away to Glentoran. It is kind of breathtaking, but these are the moments we all live for and love. If I could ask you about Linfield first, can you go and replicate that again? I mean, if anyone from Larne's annoyed at you after last weekend, are you going to make them feel a wee bit better this weekend?
Well, hopefully that's the plan. That's the plan. I actually got a text message from a few Linfield fans who did. But no, it's to be honest with you, Michael, it's just about us focusing on ourselves and trying to get the win for ourselves. We don't really focus too much on the Linfield and what they're trying to do and stuff like that, our Larne's and stuff. We just want to focus on getting our 3 points and try and stay as fourth till the end of the season, and then hopefully that can get us in their playoff final. But we know how tough it's going to be. Linfield are Linfield. They're dogged and stuff like that. They're great teams, great players. So we know it's going to be a tough game. So we do. So, yeah.
And the move to Crusaders, how short a space of time was it from somebody saying they're interested in you or we're interested in you to you actually making that move? Because you were a Carrick Rangers player out on loan, and then, you know, it just seemed like it happened quite fast. Was it fast from your end of things?
Rapidly fast, yeah. Because I was training with Queens on the Tuesday, and we had set up to play Ballymena in the Irish Cup on a Saturday. And the game plan obviously was around like the way we were going to play and the way we've been playing all season at Queens, and how we were going to try and cause Ballymena problems. And then it was on the Thursday afternoon, I got a phone call, and I didn't have the number saved, and then I rang it back, and it was Stephen, Stephen Baxter, and I was like, he said to me how impressed he's been with me and stuff like that, and that he wanted me to come in a club, and he feels that I can have a huge impact in the club and going forward and stuff. And that was on a Thursday, and then it was all done by the Monday. So yeah, it was really, really quick, very unexpected as well, to be honest, because I had said to the Queen's manager, actually, I have no intention of leaving for anybody until the end of the season, because my contract was up at Carrick, so I was just going to be a free agent and take my time and just make my decision on that. But then when Stephen Baxter rings you and he tells you how much he wants you at the club and stuff like that, then it's very hard to say no.
I can only imagine. an amazing moment for yourself. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes there, because it felt like Queens had given you a new lease of life. I imagine you're really grateful to ultimately a short time you had there, but what they were able to do, they kind of seemed to have reinvigorated your career.
Oh, big time. Because in the summer, I was contemplating just getting back to enjoying football and just not really taking anything, not too serious, but serious enough, if you know what I mean. And just going with it. And then Carrick obviously sent me out on loan to get back playing and enjoying it. And then obviously I knew a few people at Queens. They made their environment very, very comfortable for me. The players were unbelievable, welcomed me so well, and I made some great friends there, and James Laverty, the manager, and Peter Mullen, the assistant, were absolutely exceptional with me. And even whenever there was times I wasn't playing well in games, they were playing me right through, and they were played like near enough every 90 minutes I could, and they were absolutely exceptional for me. They just made me get back at loving it, scoring goals, and just, yeah, enjoying football again. And like I said, this is my first season without being injured in 3 years, or two seasons, so it is. So it's unbelievable, and I can't thank them enough. So I can't.
How difficult was the conversation when you said, look, I think I want to go to Crusaders here? Were they supportive?
Very, very supportive. Yeah. They couldn't be more supportive, to be honest. They said to me, look, we always knew that you were going to go somewhere at some point, We just didn't know when, and then obviously because it was quite soon, in the start of January, obviously with the game on the Saturday and it was a Thursday, they were quite shocked, but they never held me back whatsoever. James Lavery was very brilliant with me, because I was saying to him, like, trying to get advice from him about certain clubs as well who would come in for me, and he was saying, like, I wouldn't like you to go there because I don't think it'd be a good club for you and stuff like that. But he said at Crusaders, like, it'd be a great club, and obviously Peter Thompson's there, who's at Queens there for years, and he says, like, you'll fit in well and you'll enjoy it. So I listened to him, and he was brilliant with me. So he was.
You've been in Premiership dressing rooms before, but what was it like going into Crusaders? Because it's so fast. Is it daunting in any way, or not really?
No, not really. Not really. See, I'm at a stage now, Michael, where I'm 26, soon to be 27. Like you say, I've been in a couple of Premiership dressing rooms, and I just thought to myself, go and be yourself. Don't be shy or down the gap, because you'll just fade away. Just go and be like who you are, and that's what I've been. And the boys, like, genuinely can't say this enough, like, the boys have been absolutely amazing. But you're looking at it from the outside, and you're thinking Billy Joe Burns, Paul Heatley, Philip Lowry, Big Chicken, Jordan Owens, Jordy Forsyth, you know, all these very much experienced players, Johnny Tuffy, and then even Stephen Baxter himself. You think to yourself, whoa, can I hear big characters? But for me, I just took it as a pinch of salt and just went in, be myself. And like I said, they've welcomed me with open arms as well, and it's been brilliant.
And how exciting to be in a position where you're trying to qualify for Europe, where, you know, it all feels like every game is nearly a cup final, that old cliche, but to be in that, it must be lovely. You know, there's lots of players at lots of teams up and down the country who kind of feel like at this stage there's not much left for them, whereas at Crusaders you've a clear goal in mind and you're all working towards it.
No, it's brilliant having something to work towards and look forward to and try and achieve is unbelievable. It's brilliant just going in knowing that you have to work hard every single training session to get the best for the Saturday or the Friday night or whenever your game is. It's brilliant. It always gives you something to look forward to. It always gives you something to work towards. And all the boys know exactly what we want to do. So, no, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant feeling.
And in some ways, do you feel like this is you being able to... Do you feel like you have to prove yourself still? You know, with having been out... It's so difficult coming back from injury. It's so difficult being away from football. Getting the move, you know, putting yourself right back in the top table with one of the big teams. Do you feel like in some ways you've kind of gone, right, that's it, I've proven it to myself because I've got back here? Or what is your little motivation? What is it that you're trying to do personally if you have something like that in your mind?
I didn't think I would have got top six for a while until I had another chance to prove myself. But to go in now in January and then do what I've done so far, it's been great. Obviously there's still a lot more to do. I've still a lot more aspirations and what I need to do for myself and personal goals. But it's great. So it's just being at a top six club, knowing, and it's such a big club as well, and knowing that you're going to be challenging for the titles, challenging for cups and challenging for Europe. That's kind of what I aim for every season now, or will be for every season now, is try and help the team as best I can. I always kind of have personal goals at the start of the season of what I want to achieve. Even whenever I came to Crusaders, I've got certain goals that I want to hit come end of season. So hopefully I can do that, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds like you'll be saying, Gaffer, remember I scored, any chance of a few more starts?
Well, maybe a wee conversation me and Stephen will have, but I'll not say that out loud.
No, understandably so. Look, it's just great seeing you with a big smile on your face. How difficult was your spell, you know, injured? It must just get so incredibly frustrating when you feel like you can't do the thing you want to do.
It's really, 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 really frustrating. For me, a lot of the day of it was the mentality side of it. because you always know that you're going to get physically fit. It's just whether you can keep your head right, and then you're going to have ups and downs throughout the rehab, and then going, because it was such a big injury and been out for so long.
Sorry, for anyone that doesn't know, Stuart, maybe it'd be good just to sort of explain that a little bit.
So I ruptured my ACL in November for Carrick, and then I come back in Boxing Day, played against Lauren, and then I hurt again then Crusaders, and I was in and out. I was playing, and I was missing a month, and then I didn't really realise what happened because I didn't go for a scan or nothing. And then I finally went for a scan then in May, and they said I'd ruptured my ACL, and they said, look, it's minimum 9 months for rehab. And when he hit me with that, I was quite emotional, to be honest, because I've never missed that period of football before, and like your whole kind of routine and schedule is just completely abandoned, so it is. So the goal from playing basically every single week football and training Tuesday, Thursday, match Saturday, to go on and nothing, and then you're just at the gym, and you're having to learn to like walk like briefly again, and you have to do all the basics again, and then get back to kicking a ball. And it was weird, but it was very, very hard, the injury, but thankfully I had a great bunch of people around me who kept motivating me and kept encouraging me. And I can't thank them enough as well, because if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't play football again, because you get to a stage in the rehab, you're like, am I going to get back playing the way I was? Am I going to get back to the levels where I was? So you kind of just have all these questions throughout. But like I say, with my wife and my family and my friends, they just helped me throughout the whole period.
And, you know, without naming any names, I was having a conversation with some people recently, and this fella in the group, as I said, I don't want to, you know, maybe put that out there, but he was saying he'd done his ACL, and he felt it was a really lonely time, and people were kind of going, what are you on about lonely? Sure, you were still able to do this and that. And very quickly, I was trying to say, well, think about it. How many nights a week does he go out to training? No, he can't do that. How many matches is he missing? He can't do that. All the experiences you have with people in the ground, now you're watching other people have those experiences and you're not doing them. It's more than just an injury. It's nearly being taken out of the environment as well that's so difficult.
That's it. That's exactly it. Because everybody knows, like, when you're a footballer, your week's set up. You go training Tuesday, training Thursday, you know you're going to have a match on Saturday. And whenever you get hit with that air bomb and you're just like, you can't do that, it's so, so frustrating in your head. It really, really does get tested massively. And it is lonely, because sometimes you feel that you just can't explain how you feel to people, because some people haven't went through it. But it's just about having the right people around you, and having a good bunch of people to encourage you and, like I say, motivate you, just keep you going. Because there at the minute, we have Lloyd Anderson, Jimmy Callagher, Josh Robinson. There's three are all coming back from the same injury. And thankfully, I can talk to them and try and advise them and stuff from where I was in my rehab and where they're at. And like I say, just try and be there for them.
And just whilst we're talking about injuries, a Crusaders legend and Stuart Dallas has unfortunately prematurely announced his retirement, which does go to show that even with the best doctors in the world, sometimes these horrible things happen. And, you know, it is such an amazing career to have, and you can't take it for granted. You're not guaranteed to play to 40. None of us know whether we're, you know, going to pick up a knock or something serious in a match. And as I put out in social media, and lots of people have been sending me messages about Stuart, an incredible person, incredible footballer, but anytime you see a story like Stuart's, because he's achieved everything that any of us would ever dream to achieve, but it does just remind us that, you know, you're owed nothing nearly, so just go and make the most of what you've got.
Absolutely, yeah. I think to myself every day, like every match, that this could be my last, so I just have to go out with a smile and enjoy it and make the most of it. And try and just enjoy the time that I have, because like I said on Saturday, to yourself. Like scoring in them big games, it doesn't happen often. So you have to just realize everything that comes your way. And you have to also like take the wee injuries and stuff like that, because there's going to be blips on the road. But you have to just make the most of the good times and not get too down on the bad times.
It's a great message to finish on. Hopefully there are plenty of big goals and big games for you, Stewardy. As you said, you're still a young man, a bit more matured, a bit less phased with those environments and all that comes with all the experience that you've got. But let's hope that the best year's ahead of you and you haven't hit your prime yet. Thank you so much for coming on to The Score this week. It's been great catching up with you.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me, Michael. I really appreciate it.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And as I've already said, the most pressurised penalty of the season so far. He certainly has an argument for saying just that. Joining us from Ballymena United, the man who was ice cool as he stroked in the winning penalty at Lakeview last weekend, Stephen McCulloch. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you back on the programme. And I'm saying you looked ice cool. Did you feel nice and relaxed stepping up to hit that penalty?
To be honest with you, I wasn't overly nervous. I just got my head down and picked the spot and hit it. It's funny, like, to be fair, we didn't actually have a designated penalty taker before the game. We haven't had one. I don't think we've had many penalties this year. I think our last one was maybe away to Carrick, which Isaac took. I think it was his debut, and I think that was the last penalty. But I'm confident in myself. And I would always hit one of us in a penalty shootout. So, and then being a senior player, I just thought I would step up and take it. I think if Andy McGrory had been on the pitch, he probably would have stepped up and taken it, because he's bringing in penalties and would usually hit them if he's playing.
But, was there a debate, or was it just a case of you went straight over and nabbed it and nobody argued?
To be fair, I walked up right away as he blew for the penalty. But I seen Alex Gawn, he ran and took the ball, so I was kind of quiet. I thought he wanted it, so I'd said to him, are you looking to hit this? And he's like, no, you take it. So I was confident in myself to step up and hit it, and thankfully it went in.
He'd already got his goal for the day, maybe he was happy enough. In terms of that match, last weekend was a basket case for results all across the country, and it, as I said on commentary at the time, my notes were a mess trying to turn twos to threes to fours and all the different goals going in everywhere. I mean, to be, what was it, 4 minutes into your match and you're 2-0 up, you're probably thinking, well, this hasn't happened all season, this is happy days. And then early in the second half it's 2-2, and I mean, obviously the big difference here was you went on and won the game. There's been occasions this season where you've got into a lead and maybe not held it, but just talk me through the overall feeling of that match, which swung one way then the other, and then from your point of view obviously back again.
Well, I think the weather that day was horrendous. The wind was awful, so it's probably come in, it played a big part in the results across the league. But as you say, we were 4-0 up, or sorry 2-0 up in 4 minutes. And obviously we haven't been in that situation all year. We've struggled to score, so being 2-0 up after and that sort of short period of time was surprising. But yeah, you're 2-0 up, and to be fair, Loughall, they get back into the game, they got the ball down and put us under a lot of pressure the rest of the first half. And then the second half, a goal probably out of nothing. Ryan Wade's absolute wonder goal. And then their equaliser, which took a bit of a deflection. And you're going to yourself, here we go again. But to be fair play to the boys, they dug in well. And luckily, we got that bit of luck on our side on Saturday, which we haven't got all year. And we got a penalty. And yeah, I was just glad to get the 3 points. It was a massive, massive win.
What was the feeling like afterwards? Every win at this time of the year can feel, you know, just so vital. It's opened up a 5-point gap between yourselves and Newry City. Was there a sense of relief almost at full time more than anything else, or how? What was the overriding emotion?
I think we were delighted, obviously, just to get that win, because we know how important them before the game, the next five games are. They're basically five cup finals to try and stay in the league. But yeah, like we can't really focus on other results. We just got to focus on ourselves and try and get as many points on as possible and keep trying to climb away from Newry.
And then they, you know, are looking at it in that game that they had against Glenavon, where they gave it everything and came away with nothing, and are probably feeling quite low off the back of that. I know, obviously, you still have to play each other. That's next weekend, but you've two games before that. So let's talk about them first. And this weekend, it's away to Carrick Rangers, Jim Irvine's old club. What do you think, or how do you think the team are going to approach this game? Is there a wee bit of extra confidence, do you think, having just picked up 3 points?
Well, I hope so, yeah. Everyone's on a high, as you would be after getting 3 points, but we know how tough it's going to be. Carrick have been absolutely brilliant this year, and Shirley Keane has them playing very, very well, and we know they're very dangerous at home, so they've beaten some big some of the top six sides at home. But look, we just have to take last Saturday's performance and try and bring it into this game. But we know it's going to be a battle. But yeah, look, I'm looking forward to it, and fingers crossed we can get a result.
You've already alluded to it, you know, you're one of the senior players in the squad. They look to you for that bit of leadership. How much of a challenge has that been for you at times? Just the toll this season must have taken on you, I imagine, would be fairly significant. You know, it's been a hard campaign, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been a tough campaign. We have a young side, and it's up to us senior boys to step up and to help them. They can't just take the blame. We've been poor all year, and that's including everybody. But it's been tough. But we haven't gave up. And that's one thing about this, I can say about the squad. We have a real, real close changing room, and everyone gets on well, and we're working hard every week in training. And look, it's just one of the things is we just have to now try and get over the line.
And what of your manager, Jim Irvine? I mean, talk about a baptism of fire, taking on a challenge like this for Ballymena United. You know, wasn't that many years ago this club was, you know, in a title pursuit. In recent years, the Irish Cup has been, you know, at a fingertip's length away, but not quite. And this season, for it to be such a hard season and him just starting out, you know, it's a bit different, really. He's such an experienced individual, but he's starting out as a manager. Do you nearly as players feel that you owe him a wee bit extra to help him through it all?
Yeah, definitely. It's up to us to help him. It's his first job, and what a big job it is. But he's been brilliant. His background staff have been brilliant. It's just obviously the situation for the club, and we've lost a lot of players. It's like the whole rebuilding structure at the minute, just the whole new team, the amount of new signings we had. So it was always going to be tough. But for Fleddy, he took the job, and like, I think he's the right man for the job. And obviously, I hope that we can pull him through and pull the club through and stay in the league.
And when you're going into, you know, training and things like that on the, you know, on the back of losing run stuff, is there any quick fixes or easy ways to keep spirits up? I nearly, you know, admire teams so much who continue to keep persevering even through the difficult times, because, you know, it'd be easy just to feel sorry for yourselves, wouldn't it, and give up?
But there's no point being a footballer if you're going to give up. It's part and parcel of it. You just got to keep the head down, and you can't keep working hard, and it's what we've done all year. We haven't felt sorry for ourselves. Like we've let ourselves down a lot this year, but we've got on with it. And just we'll keep working hard, and with 4 cup finals left, hopefully we can try and get a result here against Carrick, and yeah, we'll then kick on from there. But you can't give up. And we don't have that in us within the change room. The boys they work hard for each other, and like, just fingers crossed that we can start picking up results.
And away to Carrick Rangers and the last game of the season, away to Dungannon Swifts, they're two grounds that you have won at this year. Does that come into your thinking at all, just psychologically, look, we've already done this, we can do it again?
Yeah, 100%, and Jim will tell us that, and we know that. It's two tough places to go, especially Carrick and Dungannon, because Dungannon, two different games. Dungannon love to play, and Carrick are a lot more direct, so you've got to prepare different for each game, but we're preparing for Carrick this week. But yeah, like, they're tough places to go, just like everywhere in the league now. There's no easy game, but yeah, like, we just got to work hard, and we'll all have a game plan, and hopefully that game plan works.
Mathematically, you could be safe in the next couple of matches. Well, you could be safe this weekend, couldn't you? Just depending, well, near enough, depending. If it was to be 8 points and then three games after that, it would be, you know, Newry would have to win every game, you would have to lose every game. So, you know, Tuesday night could be the all important one, depending on how things pan out. I'm just wondering, how much would you ideally like to get it done before you play Newry City, so that's not being talked about as a 6-pointer?
Yeah, I thought that would be the best outcome, but like, we just got to focus on Carrick here. It's the next game, it's the most important game, so like, we'll try and go and get 3 points there, and if we can't really focus on your, if results go our way, then brilliant, but like, we just got to focus on ourselves and try and get 3 points against Carrick on Saturday.
And one of the bright sparks of your season has been Fraser Taylor. He's got a lot of credit, and rather than asking you about him, because I've heard people wax lyrical, is there anyone else that you feel, you know, maybe has been a little underrated this year or deserves a bit of praise? I'm aware, you know, in a season where things aren't going well, you maybe just want to try and keep your heads down, but just to sort of combat some of the negativity, is there anyone that you want to point to and say, do you know what, they've really impressed me?
There's one standout, Dylan Boyle. He has been absolutely brilliant from his come in. He actually took me by surprise how good he's been, and he's been the heart of our midfield all year. He can get on the ball. He's very good in the ball, and he's hard in a challenge. But yeah, he's really, really impressed me this year, and he's just an all round pro. And you can obviously see that he's played across the water, because he stands out in training, and to be fair, he stands out in games. I think fans have taken to him very well, and can see that. Yeah, I think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, certainly when I've seen him, he's looked very good as well. I mean, you know, you sometimes hear players talk about, oh, it's a young team. It's such a young team. It's nearly a crash, isn't it? There's a lot of teenagers or people that are, you know, at most, what, 21, 22, things like that. Mikey Place at 26 feels probably like a senior citizen. That's sort of how crazy it is, nearly. And you're not even 30 yet yourself, Stephen. So it does kind of highlight it. I'm wondering, with young players, it's obviously a steep learning curve, but have they taken over the music and things as well? Are you not only in a tough season, are you having to listen to whatever nonsense young people listen to?
No. Kim Nelson still does the music in the change room, so they haven't taken over just yet. But no, they're all good. They're good lads, and like, they're willing to learn it, willing to learn every training session, every game, and like, they're going to make mistakes, and that's normal, just like we make mistakes as well as senior players. But no, the young lads have been brilliant, and there's been serious amount that's come in and made their debut this year, and fair play to them, they step up the mark, and they're really impressed in training.
And tell me this, what does DJ Kim Nelson play? That I've no idea. I couldn't even begin to guess.
Stuff that would give you a sore head, I would say. Majority of the boys would tell you that. But look, we haven't lost that yet. Then, to be fair, Sean Brown was on it 1 week, and I think Dahi was on it 1 week, and that was enough of their stuff. Kim Nelson's up to you for now.
It makes me worried about what the others were playing when Kim's still in charge of the music, but there we are. We bit of thump-thump going on then in terms of that. Look, Stephen, before I let you go, I just, on the other end of the table, obviously there's an amazing title race going on, and being a player that's been around the league for so long and having come up against Linfield and Larne this season, just wondering if you have a little inkling yourself as to who might go on and do it. 1 point between them at this stage, I mean, it's mental, isn't it? 4 games to go and so tight.
It's great to watch. Fair play to the Larne and Linfield. They've been consistent all year, and obviously Linfield are going for the treble, and to be fair, they're a bit like us. They play a lot of youngsters. Some people would say their squad isn't overly strong, but for a play to David and their squad. They've been absolutely brilliant this year. But I honestly don't know who will go on to win it. People are saying it's in Liverpool's hands with them playing Lorne at Windsor, but honestly the way that the season's went this year, I wouldn't know.
Oh, that's him firmly on the fence, everybody. And says you, I don't really care as long as we can stay up. I mean, I know it said finally, this is definitely the last one. Have you been looking at the championship results then? Because obviously if Dundella win the league, it takes automatic relegation off the table, and then you don't even have to worry about it. If you don't finish bottom, it'll just be a playoff situation. Are you all Dundella fans is the question?
Of course, and yourself, you're saying, of course, you would love to see Dundella win, but again, as I say, we just got to focus on ourselves and make sure we finish in that playoff spot. We can't be relying on other teams. But look, yes, if that was to happen, then it would be absolutely brilliant. But look, we just got to focus on ourselves and try and stay above Newry.
Really appreciate your time, Stephen, and taking the call. Tough season. Everyone's feeling it at this stage for their own reasons, and you've given yourself a wee bit of light at the end of the tunnel potentially with that penalty that you've scored. Let's see how it all pans out. Still a bit of mileage to go, but there we are. Stephen McCulloch from Palomino United, thanks for coming on to The Score.
Thanks for having me on.
The Score with Michael Clark.
It is time to get our final guest of this week's show onto the programme, and what an amazing conclusion we are witnessing in the championship. There are 6 points between first and fifth. I know. Part of that was because of a big derby win for the team that are currently in fifth against the team who are currently in first last weekend. And joining us now in the programme, he was on the score sheet for the winning team in that thrilling derby fixture, from Annie United, Nathan Kerr. Nathan, how are you?
All good, Michael. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's great to have you on. And first of all, derby spoils. It's always nice to win a derby game, but a high scoring derby game where you guys were absolutely on it from the very get go. Just how satisfying was last Saturday?
It was brilliant. It was really good. The boys were super the whole game, to be honest with you. You sort of knew when you're going into the game, you know, in the warm up, you've seen how up for the boys they were, you know, were for the match. So it was really good, and to score 4 goals and get the win is the most important thing, especially at Shamrock Park. It's always a wee bit more special. But no, super, and the bounce back from losing against Balmard as well it was always key, and it keeps us maybe in the running to see what we can do here come the last three games here. So yeah, no, it was excellent, and the top it off of the getting on the score sheet as well, it always helps. So it was nice.
Portadown fans, I'm sure, are second. It's no new thing when Portadown play Anna. You look through the Anna team, there's usually quite a few Portadown old boys in there, given the proximity. Mid Ulster clubs are usually pretty good at sharing their players around. Players do little tours. You're obviously a former Portadown player as well, and we just heard from Stephen McCulloch of Ballymena United. I was saying about, you know, one of the pressure penalties of the season that he put away to get Ballymena a win at Lakeview against Loughall. I mean, arguably a very big moment in the game. For you stepping up and taking that penalty just before half time with a score at 0-0.
Yeah, of course. Especially, I think it was only a couple of minutes just before half time. So to get to come in, you know, actually we ended up scoring another one just before half time with the race sticking one in the top corner. It's very, very important going in half time, you know, two up and able, you know, to start the second half of that wee bit of a momentum going into it. So it was very good, but we regrouped at half time. We were in that position before, you know yourself, going in 2-0 at half time, it can go either way, you know, second half. So, but to be fair to the boys, they got down, they weren't complacent or anything, and we ended up getting another, you know, 3 and 4 pretty quickly soon on into the second half. So it takes the edge off, especially at Shamrock Park as well, and they made a couple of changes coming into the second half, but which benefited them, to be honest with you. The 30 had livened them up, and they did give us a good goal. But I think we got it over the line in the end. And it was a great result. And especially in the derby as well. It was super.
Make no mistake about it, it's still Portadown's title to lose at this stage, with, you know, three games to go. They're all home matches. They are a point clear of Dundella, who is second. I'm just wondering, you're 4-0 up, then they score, and then they score again, and there's 15 minutes or so left. Was there any part of your brain just going, oh, please don't let them get a third, because we can't somehow capitulate here? Was there any sort of jitters at all, or not really?
To be honest, I actually, once the second one went in, I sort of had a look across the big Paul Finnegan beside me, and I sort of just said, right, we need to tighten up here slightly, you know, because you know how quickly it can change. And mm-hmm. I think we were two up the last time we played for the last match, played for it, and they came back and it was 2-8. So we knew how quickly and how dangerous they can be. You know, they've got some really quality players. I think they brought Mays and Mark Russell on in the second half, and it did change things up for them, and they were very a lot more dynamic and stuff. So it definitely did. I would say it did get a wee bit nervy towards the last 15, but you know, we got the boys together. I think we brought Niall Henderson on around that stage, and he just solidified things up for us, and we sort of just got together and got the job done. And it was a relief when the finals went off, and a very important 3 points for us as well. So it was key, very key.
Are you, because I know, you know, season isn't over and players are always just looking to the next thing, so it's hard to be reflective, but collectively, are you quite pleased with where you've got to in your season, given how many hurdles you've had to overcome along the way? And I know for yourself personally, you know, there's been an injury in there, and I'm sure at times quite a few challenges, quite a few teammates have been out injured, haven't they? So this turnaround that you've had since the new year, can you take pride in that, or is it too soon for any of that sort of talk?
No, I think definitely we can take pride in, especially, you know, if you'd have said this Christmas time would we end up in this position we're in now, you'd probably thought it was too far off at the time. And you know, but we first the Kieran and the staff, they regrouped and they got a couple of really, really good signs. And you know, James Convey's come in and he's been absolutely super for us, really, really, really impressive. You know, and really got the squad together, and there's that bit of competition now between us, you know, in training, because we were a very, very light squad. And obviously at the start of the season, we got in a couple of injuries. That, you know, Pixie and Swanee got some, you know, two really, really horrific injuries. So, and that was a big shock to the squad. So regrouping after that, it was massive. And myself, I think I was there for about 2 months waiting on an injection as well. So to get back in and get the group together and really kick on from the start of the new year, you know, the results have been super, and we've got that sort of momentum behind us now. So I think definitely we can take pride for where we are now, but I think as well, we want to kick on here and see, you know, with three games left, and what can we do? Obviously, we might need maybe other teams to help us out, but you know, if we win our next three games, then you know, you just gotta see what happens and take every, you know, each game as it comes. But it's going to be a real exciting finish to the season, definitely, and we're looking forward to it.
I think everybody is just so excited with how this league has reached its crescendo, and goodness knows there'll be twists and turns before all is said and done on Friday the 26th. But the way the games are just so intense, it always happens in the split anyway. You know, you get yourself in the top half of the split, then you know you're going to play all the other best teams in the league. But it does make it fascinating from the outside where I am looking in. You know, you're away to Institute this weekend, away to the Wilders, then at home against Bangor. And when you look at their league positions, you know, Institute and Bangor third and fourth, yourselves in fifth. And with the way things are, if Portadown were to win the league and Dundella were to finish second, and that's only one permutation, you know, third place, that big shiny carrot, would get somebody a playoff, and you know, that's potentially there for you. It's pretty, I think, bonkers is just the word I want to use. I don't want a fancier word, it just feels bonkers, Nathan.
Yeah, I think you're 100% spot on. It is bonkers, but I think that's the beauty of this league at the minute. It's so kamikaze, it can go either way, and any team can beat anyone. And I think that's, for the neutral, it's brilliant. Probably for us as players and, you know, as managers, it's probably not so much, you know. But it's it's super for the neutral. And the fact, like you said there, you know, if Dundalk do finish second, if Portadown say do go in to win the league, you know, there's that chance of third place there, and you gotta believe that you can get there. And I think, like I said, we just focus on our way to the Institute here at the weekend, a very, very, very good side, you know, and get the ball down, play some really good stuff. But we know if we apply ourselves well and play the football we can play, we're good enough to match anyone in the league, you know. So it's going to be a really exciting three games, and it's going to be a real good finish to the end of the season. We just need to take care of each game as it comes, and see if we can manage to win, you know, these last three games. You know, who knows where you can finish, and then you could end up with a playoff chance, and yourself in the end games. It's a cup final, it can go either way. So it's going to be really, really exciting, and we're really looking forward to it as a team. We've got that momentum going now, and you know, it'll be interesting to see what way it's going to finish up.
There's goals galore last weekend. I just assume the wind was a massive factor in that. What was it like at Shamrock Park? Was it every bit as mental as it seemed to be in other matches?
It was definitely. It was actually myself and Finno were talking before the match what way we would go with kickoff, would we take it, would we not? And I was like, well, you know, either way you're going to end up to deal with it anyway, you know. So, but it ended up working in our favour. But it was, I actually felt a bit sorry for our keeper Jason. His kicking was super all game. It's just you know, first half we were against the wind, and he was kicking the ball super. It was just coming straight back to us. But I just said, you know, we just have to deal with it. You know, you got to adapt to it. And you know, to be in fairness to the boys, we did. We got the gallery. We got in. We kept ourselves tight, and we end up getting the penalty. And then shortly after, Lurie sticks a free kick in the top corner, which always helps. It sort of calmed our nerves there. And then knowing going into the second half, you've got the wind with you, it makes things a wee bit easier. So it definitely helped. But no, it was tough conditions for both teams. But thankfully, we got it over the line. We dealt with it, adapted, and yeah, we got the 3 points.
And meanwhile, at Wilger Park, Institute are playing at a 7-goal thriller that they edge against Dundella. In terms of what sort of match you're expecting at Brandywell on Saturday afternoon, how impressed, first of all, have you been with Institute? And, you know, can you glean anything from your previous encounters as to how this one will go? Or is it very much standalone at, you know, with this stage in the season that we're at?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight affair, to be honest with you. The last couple of times we've played them, it's they've always been quite tight matches. I think we drew nil each at our place the last match, and it was a tight game. And as I said there before, Institute are very good football inside, some super players, and have signed really well there in the journey. So it's going to be a real interesting fixture. But we know, like I said there, if we go up and apply ourselves, you know, we're good enough to match any team in the league. And I think with the momentum we've got going, and also with Institute's momentum they've got going, you know, especially after that really impressive win last week, it's going to be a cracking game for the neutral again. So but going up there, you know, you know what you're up against. They're gonna get the ball down, they're gonna pass it well, they're gonna move you about, and we just gotta stay together, stick to our game plan, and know that we get the ball down, we move it, and see where it takes us, you know. But it's gonna be a really exciting fixture. But if we go there and we get the 3 points, we can kick on and see how these other two games go, and you know, we might get help from other fixtures in the league. But we just gotta take each game as it comes and see where we end up.
And that's the skill really in it, that you can't be thinking all the way through to that final game of the season just yet. But just imagine the scenario that we could all find ourselves in on the Friday night with everybody in action, and you're at home against Bangor, Dundella have the Welders, Portadown have Institute. You know, selfishly, I hope it all does go down to the last night and everything's still there on the table, because that would just be the most exciting thing ever. Every team clearly just wants to get it done and dust it, because why would you not? It'd be silly to say anything else. But could you imagine the scenario where it is still in your gift and it is that final game and you're at home, and it's Bangor who have been so impressive? I mean, that would be really a huge occasion.
Of course it would. Of course. And, you know, again, for a neutral, it would be fantastic. And for us as players as well, these are the games you want to play in. You know, these last three games are cup finals for everyone, you know, especially in the split. But I mean, yeah, if you go into that last game and you've got everything to play for, you know, what an occasion. Especially, like you said, they're a banger. I've been very impressive all season. Especially the way they've gone about their business, you know, on off the pitch, and it would be a real, real impressive if you get to that last game with everything to play for, and you leave a ring out there, and you know, and between the two teams, and see where it takes you. So it'll be real, real exciting. End of the season, it really would.
And I just want to get a bit of a synopsis from you about, you know, where you feel you are at this stage in your career. You know, you've been across the water, you've come back, you've been at big clubs and got a lot of experience. You're in your mid-20s now, so, you know, as I said earlier on to Stuart Nixon, who's probably similar age to yourself, you know, your prime years are ahead of you, certainly. Just how good do you feel where you're at in life and football at the moment?
I'm feeling brilliant, to be honest, at the minute. I'm getting some, you know, some brilliant game time, and I'm staying injury free at the minute. You know, I've had a bit of bad luck with injuries with my knee and stuff, and I had the cruciate injury at the Glen Torn, but I got myself back in, so I had to put it down, and ended up getting another knee injury. But that's a part and parcel, you know. You can't make excuses for it. You just have to get on with it. But I'm really, really, really enjoying my time now at the minute. As I said, I'm getting the freedom of the game time, and you can only get better with every game you play. And Kieran and John, Matty, and the staff have been super with me. And we've got a great group of lads down there as well. The guidance is super, and you know, with a real good mix of youth and leaders in the team. So, but I would be lying if I said I want another crack at Premiership football over here and stuff. And I feel like I've a bit of unfinished business, to be honest with you. So. And I would, how special would that be to do it with Anna? I think it would be massive for the club and for the boys. It would be super. I know how much ambitions the club will have going up, and certainly myself, I would love and jump at the opportunity of getting back in. So yeah, that's where I would be at the minute. You know, I think anyone that you see the standard of football in the Premiership now, and even the Championship, it's getting better and better every week, and every season teams are getting so much stronger. So, you know, why wouldn't you want to be a part of that, and why wouldn't you want to have a go and stuff? And but you gotta keep ticking on, and like I am, I'm just working hard and trying to stay injury free and keep myself fit as possible. And, you know, I've got a good run of games here, and I'm playing really well myself, and I just have to keep going and just but to do it with Anna United would be super.
And when you consider all the different things that you have achieved in your career, I'm thinking of, you know, being capped at youth international level with Northern Ireland, and I'm pretty sure, I hope my memory's not letting me down here, were you captain of the Victory Shield team for Northern Ireland as well? I'm trying to think, that winning team against England all those years ago, weren't you in that?
Yes, that was a long time ago. Yes, under 15 or 16 schoolboys, with Desi Curry. I was captain then against England, and I think we had Scotland at the time. Funny enough, I got injured in that game against England as well. Had an ankle injury and then missed the last game. But yeah, some great experiences, and especially, you know, being able to get back from the knee injury there a few years ago and getting back into the under 21 squad was a massive. A massive thing. It was a real goal to get back in, and I have to say Ian Barclough at the time was super with me at the time, getting me back in. He really was, and he really kept me involved even when I was out injured at the time. He got me up into the camps and was keeping me involved around the squad and stuff. It was a real super experience, and to get back into there, and so there's always that ambition there for me, to keep pushing on, and especially getting back into the Premiership with the likes with Anna, you know, it would be super. And I know a lot of the boys down there have all that same ambition, and here in the club they're itching because we've came so close the last couple of years. It would be super. It'd be a real massive achievement.
It's a brilliant story. We've only scratched the surface of your career there, Nathan, but loved sharing some time with you and hearing about everything. I'm glad you're on the right side of your injuries and you're enjoying your football, and Anna United part of this amazing story that is unravelling in the championship. So power to you and keep making it entertaining for the rest of us.
Yes, brilliant. No, thanks for having me on the show, and it's been great. Thanks very much, Michael.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Nathan Kerr of Anna United rounding off our brilliant guest this week on the programme. My thanks to him, to Stuart Nixon of Crusaders, and Stephen McCulloch of Ballymena United. How will things look in the Premiership and the Championship next weekend? That'll be fascinating to see with all the games that are to be played between now and then. It's a crucial 10 days or so in the top flight title race, you feel, leading up to that game between Linfield and Larne, moved back to Monday the 22nd. A lot can happen between now and then, and we will do our best to keep you across all of it. But for now, we're out of time, and all that's left to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.